Riders in a bye week. No game this weekend for them. However, could actually clinch a home playoff game without even playing, which is kind of interesting. We would need BC, Winnipeg, and Edmonton to all lose. So, yeah, I'm saying there's a chance. If that were to happen, that would secure either the West Final or even West Semifinal to be played at Mosaic. So, some good reasons to watch the CFL this weekend. In and out between football, you can be doing some yard work. And I know one gentleman who is always fond of giving us a list of to-do things every weekend. His name is Rick Van Dyvendyk. He's the host of Garden Talk from Dutch Growers. Joins me now. Rick, how are you, my man?
Great. We can still be green out in the yard rather than on the field.
Yeah, what's your feeling here? This forecast long-term, it's great weekend forecast. Next week, we're seeing daytime highs 23 to 25. What are your suggestions? What are we doing here this weekend?
Well, there's lots of things you can do out in the yard. There's lots of little pruning you can do. There's lots of cleaning up you can do. There's fall fertilizing the lawn still because we still have our water turned on yet. So there's lots of things you can do out in the yard that just makes it so that you can enjoy your yard next year and still enjoy your yard this year. I mean, I still got tomatoes on the vine out in the garden still and potatoes in the ground, carrots in the ground. So I'm still going out there and enjoying the fruits of the harvest out in the garden. So it's nothing better than having fresh vegetables in the for supper.
Well, and that's my weather point too. I even look at the long range forecast. The overnight lows are still, 8 to 10 degrees for the next 5 to 7 days. So with that in mind, is there any concern for anything we still have out there? Because it seems to be okay right now.
Yeah, no, this is last Monday. I seeded some grass seed, and already it's starting to germinate and pop up already. So it's there's still lots of time to do things.
What about fall bulbs?
Fall bulbs, absolutely. I mean, best time to plant garlic is in the fall, and everybody loves putting garlic in. It's so simple. Just put it in the ground, and it pops up in the spring. It's ready even earlier than if you plant it in the spring. Put it in now. Tulips, daffodils, crocuses. Those you have to put in the fall. You can't wait till spring. We get lots of people coming into the garden center and saying, I want to buy some tulips and daffodils and plant them in the yard. And it says, you can't do that. You got to plant them in the fall and then enjoy them in the spring. They need that cold winter to set the bulbs so that they pop up in the first thing in the spring.
All right. A concern some people have been having is fruit flies and fungus and even gnats in the house. So let's touch on all of those. What do you suggest?
Well, what's happening is people bring in vegetables in and bring in their plants in from outdoors. And so with that, you bring little hitchhikers, what I call. And so you get up in the morning and breakfast, you got these little flies going around. Those are called fungus gnats. And those ones, they're kind of harmless, but what they do is they lay their eggs in the soil. And then the way you get rid of those is really simple. You can either put a little yellow sticky trap to catch the adults. But you can use some nematodes, and another little bug you put into the soil, and it eats all the eggs from the fungus gnats, and it gets rid of them like right away. And then once the fungus gnats are gone, the nematodes just die off because they got nothing to eat.
What about the fruit flies in your house, though? Well, that are annoying at the breakfast table, as you said, they get in the house.
Yeah.
How do you get rid of them?
They hang around the sink, they hang around the garbage can, that kind of stuff. Those are easy. Just put a cup out. Put a little bit of vinegar and a drop of dish soap in it and put a piece of saran wrap over top of that. Poke some holes with a pen in the top and you'll get rid of all your fruit flies. They'll be attracted to the vinegar and they'll get caught in the vinegar with the soap on top and they'll be finished. It's really easy.
I knew you'd have the answer. Rick Van Dyvendyk, host of Garden Talk every Sunday morning. With the overnight lows still pretty solid in that 8 to 10 degree range, no sense in turning the water off just yet. However, how much should you be watering your lawn at this point if you're going to fertilize it?
Well, right now if you just put it on, you want to make sure you put fertilizer down, water it right away. And then you want to be putting on equivalent to an inch of water per week. So so that means just keeping it moist, but I don't want to keep it wet anymore. If you've been watering it like every day, no, turn to every second or third day. That's lots for the grass right now because the daylights are getting shorter. And then you're just getting everything ready, not actively growing, but just getting it ready. And the fertilizer you put on right now is just going to help the roots get established so that they're strong for the winter time, so that you have the nicest lawn in the spring.
All right, Rick, I bet you're going to be busy again this Sunday morning. 2 hours of garden talk. I'll hear you then, okay?
Yeah, awesome. Have a great weekend.
Good weekend. Great forecast. It's going to be mild. It looks as if it's going to be mild next week. It's the last weekend of summer. I mean, sure, you could check out a couple of corn mazes. There's one near Lumsden, one south of us. I don't think the pumpkin patch is ready yet out of Lumsden, but it won't be long before that, too. But fall becomes official on Monday. Joining me now, Andrew Shepherd from the 980 CJMA Newsroom. Another point I should mention here on this last weekend of summer is this is also the last day for wildfire reports. It's come to that, huh? Are there any fires still burning now? Or?
Well, there are. I mean, and good thing with this weekend, it doesn't look like there's any wildfire smoke to anymore. But yeah, the Public Safety Agency put out the last wildfire update of the season. Now, the season's not over, but there are still 18 fires in the province. The good news is none of them are out of control. How does this compare to last year? We have actually, even though it just seems these fires really impacted communities more with more evacuations, but there are about 490 wildfires this year. That's less than the almost 600 last year, still ahead of the five-year average of 440.
All right, Shep. Premier Scott Moe's going to be coming on the show, the Evan Bray Show, just after the 8:30 news this morning. There's a lot I'm curious to hear because he was obviously in China, trying to get them on board with us again here over canola and pork issues and peas. But Ontario Premier Doug Ford, he says we're not going to do it. He's trying to plead to Carney. He put it in writing even. Don't do it. Don't take away the tariffs on China about the EVs.
It's very interesting because, you know, they, you know, Mo and Ford politically aligned, but they've got their own provincial issues that are kind of at odds right now. Mo has been calling to get these Chinese EV tariffs away because it's widely seen that the hefty canola tariffs are retaliation for that. So he's saying get rid of these EV tariffs so that we can help canola farmers. Ontario saying, well, that these EV tariffs are protecting Ontario jobs. There's a new poll out from Angus Reid, and it's in Mo's favor because the majority of Canadians, over half in almost every province, I think it is over half in every province, 68% in Saskatchewan say they'd rather have the EV tariffs either lowered or reduced in favor of if that would mean that the canola tariffs would if it would help canola farmers and lift the canola tariffs.
All right, again, Premier Scott Moe on at 8:30 on the Evan Bray Show. Jimmy Kimmel is a hot topic right now, and a Regina actress suggests that there's a way to stick it to Disney if you love Kimmel.
Yeah, there's a lot of reaction to this after Kimmel was pulled off the air. Tatiana Maslany, who's from Regina, posted on her Instagram, I think.
She's on She-Hulk.
She plays She-Hulk. She was also an Orphan Black, which She-Hulk is a Disney. It's a Marvel, which is owned by Disney, and it airs on Disney Plus. She posted an image of her in her She-Hulk motion capture suit. Yeah. You know, encouraging people to cancel their subscriptions. It doesn't say because of this, but there's a lot of people calling.
I'm sorry. Number one, I'm a Jimmy Kimmel fan, by the way. I love his monologues, and I think he's a great interviewer, too. But, hey, I am not ready to give up Disney Plus in protest to save Jimmy's job.
I got a young child at home.
I've got Alien Earth to get through. That's a Disney. I'm loving that
me
series.
Me too, yeah.
And I highly recommend The Twisted Tale of Amanda Knox, too. I'm enjoying that series. So, sorry, Tatiana, but as much as I love Kimmel, not ready to go there with you yet. Shep, thank you so much. CJMA News Time is 6:58. Frank, what are you doing to me? Am I supposed to be working out right now? Come on. Y'all ready? The weekend is here. There's plenty going on around town, too. I mentioned how the RSO is opening up their new season. The 25-26 season starts tomorrow night at the Conexus Arts Center. It's the maestro Gordon Gerard's last year, so just about every performance in some manner will be saluting Gordon, who's a great guy, often a good sport joining me on this show as I take a few shots at him here and there. He's such a serious guy sometimes. I like to try to loosen him up, but he is a good man, and he will be missed. But it's his opening concert tomorrow night. Regina's own Karen Donnelly returning, too. Great trumpeter, and they're saluting Hollywood and hometown music. So that'll be cool. And don't forget, too, the Saskatchewan Sports Hall of Fame big weekend. They've got the gala sold out and an open house at the Saskatchewan Sports Hall of Fame tomorrow afternoon, where John Ryan, former NFL, CFL player, of course, among all the others who are being inducted, will be there signing autographs, if you want to check that out tomorrow. As for our Regina Pats, they're opening up their new season. Hockey is back, but they're actually on the road. Tonight in Swift, Medicine Hat tomorrow. Actual home openers until a week from tonight against the Raiders. But I had a game tonight. Regina Pats head coach Brad Haroff joining me for a season preview. Welcome back to the show, Coach. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, my friend, you have come off two straight years finishing near the bottom. And I'll bet you can't wait to drop the puck on a new season and put those demons to rest. So how are you feeling about this lineup you've put together?
Yeah, we got nearly almost 15 guys back from our team last year. We've made some moves earlier in the season, just kind of putting some depth in some positions with our roster. Yeah, I think that we're moving in a real positive direction. You know, we're still a little bit of a younger team here, but we got lots of guys returning, guys who are 18 years old right now. Obviously, you would excite me with a couple of our 15-year-olds in Liam and Maddox. But we got some guys coming into the prime of their WHL career, so there's lots for us to be excited for.
Yes, the 15-year-old rookies, Maddox and Liam. Obviously, fans want to be able to hit up a game when those kids are available to you, but the Pat C schedule, I don't think it's dropped yet. How do you forecast implementing these kids through your season?
Yeah, you know, Greg, I don't think there's going to be, you know, we've put together a roadmap for it to happen, but there's going to be no perfect formula to it. You know, there's going to be injuries. There's going to be injuries to our team. So you got to be able to stay fluid, and you got to be able to solve. But in the end, we got to both in our programs. We got to do what's right for Maddox and Liam. And I know that we have a good relation to work together and be able to accomplish those goals.
All right, the net matters too. And Kelton Pine is back. How do you feel about net minding? Heck, you just traded for a goaltender, I think, too, didn't you?
Yeah, Kelton's been kind of battling something, you know, through camp here. And so we just needed to make sure that he wasn't ready to go at the start of the season. We had a little bit of insurance policy. Our other third goalie is 16 years old, so that's a lot to ask. You know, we start two games on the road here, back-to-back, and, you know, to ask the goalie to go back-to-back on the road, it's in their first real WHL experience. It's a tough thing to ask. So for us, we're going to give Kelton some time to heal, built up the right way here. And when he's built up the right way, you know, he was our team MVP last year for a reason. He kept us in a lot of games. That's what we expect him now coming back to 20-year-old boy.
The approach makes sense for sure. Coach Brad Haroff, my guest here from the Regina Pats. What's your feeling on Connor McDavid, Coach? Not having re-signed yet. Let's talk about that. Are you surprised it's taken this long or that there might even be a window open? He may not re-sign.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely interesting. The salary cap, I know, is going up. I don't think he's, you know, a money-driven person. I think he just wants to be in a good situation where he can know he can build a little bit of a legacy, and he wants to play in the big games. And I think he just wants to make sure his team's there. I'm not saying Edmonton's not. That's one thing that these players, when they get to hit free agency and make their own life decisions for the first time, because otherwise they're just basically trapped other people's decisions. So, you know, I think people like Connor McDavid have earned that right at least one time in their career to maybe pick and choose where he wants his family to grow up. Yeah, player perspective, it makes sense. From a fan perspective and from the organization's perspective, hey, I understand why they want him to stay.
Coach, what do you think? Is it better to be on the road this weekend to start the season?
Yeah, good. That's a great question. For me, no, because now we have to sit through everyone's home opening ceremony, which is honestly a pain. You know, I think they go to the Medicine Hat, too, and I think that's their home opener, too, so watching the championship. But, yeah, I think it's good for the players. I think it's good to get us on the road, get us away from the rink, start building some bonds, stuff like that, you know, living, working together, and then just, you know, going from there.
Coach, where do you want to be come, say, end of November, mid-December?
I want us to be in a playoff position. I think that, you know, there's steps to this, and I think us, you know, getting into the playoffs and playing meaningful games all the way down the stretch and, you know, playing games in the spring this year is important for our development. As far as a championship this year, obviously everyone's playing to win a championship, but for us, I think we need to do it in steps. And I think our biggest step right now is playoffs, being a part of that conversation.
Well, I sure hear great things about you, Brad. Everyone says you're one of the good guys, and that's my experience the short times I've been together with you. So I wish you nothing but the best this season. Thanks a lot for being here, Brad.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate the interview.
What's that sound? What's that sound, Evan Bray? Is it the sound of combines firing up again here this weekend, do you think?
It is, for sure. Lots of the places that were stopped because of the rain have been able to get going, and if they haven't, I would guess in the next day or so they will.
Yeah. And next week, you've got a few days off to help the harvest out because it looks sunny and dry next week,
That's
too.
Right. I took the start of the week next week off to give Tim a hand. Hopefully, I get close to done. We're working on canola now. So, yeah, it's supposed to be 26 degrees on Sunday.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
That's good to see. You were busy last night, Uncover the Cure. Tell everyone what that was.
So, yeah, I'm always proud of this event. Our radio station hosts this event, and it's basically a fundraiser and awareness campaign around prostate cancer. So we partner up with our friends at the Hospitals of Regina Foundation, Dino, Lisa, and the team over there. And we bring together people that are interested in donating some money and raising awareness about prostate cancer. We had a full house last night at the Wascana Golf and Country Club. It was a great evening.
And as you chit chat with all your people there, what were they talking about here?
Well, I mean, we obviously talked about the cause and the importance of the cause, but aside from that, Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel has still got people talking. I heard you talking about this yesterday, is if you kind of delineate this a little bit, it's not necessarily about Trump censoring Kimmel. It's about big business, TV stations,
a lot of
wanting
corporate money
to do what they can to continue to get approval for things like mergers, and worried about the impact that their decisions might have on them.
Well, and the FCC, their version of the CRTC, right?
Right.
He is appointed by Trump. And he, if you go back and you can do this with just about everyone, find that he was all for free speech and that it should never be this way. But then as you grow closer with Trump, you realize you just do whatever the marching orders are. And yeah, so he said Kimmel should be off the air on a podcast. And next thing you know, because they want to get this $6 billion deal done,
right,
they got him off the air.
And the sound clips that I've been hearing and you were talking about this morning of U.S. President Donald Trump on Air Force One last night talking with the reporters, he's basically indicating, if you're talking against me, you know, we could pull your license.
Yeah.
If you're saying bad things about me, we could pull your license.
It's incredible what's happening stateside. But Jimmy Kimmel, I don't think, even if they said to him, hey, if you soften up on Trump and just apologize, we'll bring you back.
He wouldn't agree to that. No.
Yeah. I can't wait for the return of Jimmy Kimmel in some form or another, because let's face it, there are so many streaming services you can go on now, and they'll be chomping at the bit to get Kimmel on.
See, I wasn't a big Kimmel fan. I couldn't tell you the last time I watched him. I tend to, if I'm going to pick one of the late night fellas, it's Jon Stewart for me. I like Jon Stewart. Yeah. I think he's funny. He's witty.
And normally he's only on Monday. And last night he did a special show.
Yeah, I knew that would be good.
Yeah. They all commented last night. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Kimmel. I enjoy his monologues. But I will say, and I think it's hilarious what he says about Trump sometimes, but I will say this, from the very beginning, I've always been shocked that Kimmel would take such a stance, because he is definitely opposed to Trump. But you're eliminating pretty much half the audience that you might have had before.
Right.
And again, you know, some of us are old school. We would go back to the days of Letterman and, Jay Leno, who went pretty hard on Clinton as well, too, with the whole scandal there. But I don't know. It seems crazy to me that Kimmel would think, I'm okay to let go of half my audience just because I hate Trump so much.
Yeah.
But I do think he's very funny, Kimmel. I do like his way of interviewing, too. Anyhow, enough about Kimmel. What's coming up on your show?
We've got the premier. Yeah, we've got the premier. He's China, Ottawa, Evan Bray Show. That's the week.
And we're starting to see some cracks in friendships. Doug Ford does not want the tariffs lifted on EVs.
Yeah, that's interesting pushback. There was just, I might have heard in the news this morning, an Angus Reid survey that shows the majority of Canadians feel those tariffs on Chinese EVs have to come off to release the pressure on the canola sector. The premier, once he got back, especially after his meeting with Mark Carney, said, you know, this is a very nuanced conversation because don't forget, we put those Chinese tariffs on to favor our relationship and help the United States. So it's a bit of a tango that's happening right now between the countries and trade. So we'll get the premier's thoughts on that this morning. And I want to talk tailgating with the premier.
Yeah, well, apparently the province is in on this, trying to help the riders, so we'll see.
I think it's great.
Evan Bray Show starts at 8:30 with Premier Scott Moe.